There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Hey, before we get started with, we're going to talk to Dauphin Island's Mayor Jeff Collier in just one second about a bill up in Montgomery, but a subject I think you need to know about. We've talked about it in the past, but I want to let you know now it is a bill in Montgomery, and maybe you want to call and give your support to this, but we'll get to that in a second, because I got to tell you about a special deal from the folks at Harry's now. This is unreal. All the years I've been shaving with Harry's and telling you all about Harry's, this is the best introductory deal I have ever seen from them. I love shaving with Harry's. I love the blades, number one. Gives you a great shave. Love the convenience of having those blades show up at the house, just the number I need for that month. Also the shave cream and all the other stuff you can get. But most love the price. As a fiscal conservative, the fact that it's half of what you would be paying for replacement blades at the grocery store or pharmacy means a whole lot to me, and it should to you as well. And for a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. Here's how it works. New customers, so that's not me, but new customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So if you've been on the fence about this, you've been listening to me over the years tell you about Harry's, and you're looking for a reason to make your move now, here it is. Join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. You get the five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Just $3. Did I mention that? Go to harrys.com today and try Harry's. Do this. Get this trial offer. Get the Harry's kit to shave with. Use code MOBILE and get the free shipping. It's $3. That's it. You get the whole kit for $3. Make sure to let them know that you heard it here at FM Talk 106.5 and help support the show. But harrys.com and use the code MOBILE and get that deal. $3 and you're shaving with Harry's. Great stuff. All right. Y'all say hello to Mayor of Dauphin Island, my buddy Jeff Collier. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Sean. Always good to be with you.
It's always good to have you on here. And by the way, back to our conversation from earlier this week. Everything recovered on the island? Everything okay?
Well, we're in the process. We've had some good weather to clean up, and we've made a lot of progress. And of course, there's still some individual home sites and, of course, some businesses that still have some work to be done. But we'll be back bigger and better than ever. And, of course, the island's wide open in the meantime. Come and have fun.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because it's a beautiful weekend ahead of us, and people can head down and check it out. And they can take their lounge chair or their towel and go sit on the beach at Dauphin Island in the sand, right? In that sand, especially that East End Beach and West End Beach, expanded beaches there. But, Mayor Collier, sand is not an easy commodity, even for a barrier island.
No, it's not. And, of course, that's something a lot of your regular listeners will have heard us talk about in the past. And it's always a challenge. I mean, we're a barrier island, and, that's always a part of maintaining the stability and resiliency of communities such as ours. The necessity to get sand replenishment as often as possible, and there's natural ways of doing that, and then there's also man-made interventions that can do it. And I know we're here to talk about this Senate bill that's before the legislature that might help in that respect.
Yeah, this is okay. And I think we'll go back for a second. People that haven't heard us talk about this before, it kind of explained the situation, because they'll say, wait a second, Dauphin Island, they got all the sand in the world down there. But in fact, you don't. You're losing every year, every day, every minute.
Well, it is. And, one of the things, the constant motion of the water, just general wave action. And, of course, folks are familiar with the fact that we've had a lot of hurricanes over the past years, tropical storms, near misses, direct hits. All of those things take tolls on this island community. And, you know, the thing that we always try to remind folks is it's not just about Dauphin Island. I mean, that's the focal point here. But as a barrier island, you know, the island has a lot of roles to play in support of the adjacent marsh areas that supply nurseries for all the juvenile fish, shrimp, crab that we all like to catch and eat. And it also, the island is, as the name suggests, a barrier for mainland coastal regions that take the first hit when a storm does come ashore. And we also noticed it played a similar role when we had the oil spill. So it's important for areas far outside of the boundaries of the town of Dauphin Island that the island itself remain sustainable and resilient and viable. It has a lot of different components to deal with.
You know, I love talking about the natural science portion of this. Is one of, you know, things I enjoy talking about. But with making it short here, folks, the sand should be aggregating on Dauphin Island like it has for millennia when it moves from east to west and slightly to the north, like the natural pattern is. But we've got a ship channel here, Mayor Collier. We have a ship channel that requires dredging.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, that's one of the issues that we've talked about a lot is the fact that along the northern Gulf Coast in our area, sand moves along from east to west. And as it moves off, in our case, the Fort Morgan Peninsula, it drops into the ship channel and the current process. And for quite a number of decades now, as we take that sand out of the channel, obviously it has to be dredged. Otherwise, the ships couldn't pass through. And so the current process is to pick that sand up and dump it additional miles, maybe 3 to 5 miles further south into the Gulf, where it's pretty much taken away from the littoral system, which is what helps move that sand east to west. And what we've been asking for and pleading for quite a number of years is we think we can do better. We think we can put that material in a place that is going to be more beneficial and better replicates the natural process by putting that sand in an area that it would normally have gone had we not had intervention. And so that's one of the main things that we've pushed on. And, of course, everybody knows about the ship channel deepening and widening project that's probably going to be happening here in the next year or two. There'll likely be a considerable amount of materials that could be better utilized once we get to that point. And it's not just during the construction phase, but the channel, as long as there's a channel there, it will always have to be dredged. And there'll always be material to do away with. And we've just got to find a way to put that material in the most beneficial area so that we're not losing it from the system.
I want to make sure everybody understands what Mayor Collier and I are talking about. It's not bringing sand in from some far-flung location or something. It is taking the sand that was making its way from east to west, falls into the ship channel, is then dredged, that was going to end up on Dauphin Island, but now it is taken offshore. Now, people will scratch their head who have not heard us talk about this before, Mayor Collier, and say, why the heck do you take it way offshore instead of just putting it on the other side of the ship channel and letting it go on its merry way to Dauphin Island?
That's the same thing I've asked a lot. But the answer is generally from the Corps, and the Corps is dictated what they're supposed to do through Congress. And the issue is they're supposed to dispose of these materials, quote, in the most cost-effective manner, or in the cheapest way, basically. And you know, if you look at dumping it where we feel like it would be more beneficial compared to where they're dumping it now, where we think it's not beneficial, they're saying that it's cheaper to dump it where they're dumping it, therefore that's where it gets dumped. Now, you know, we counter-argue that if you're looking at it simply from dumping it in point A and point B and comparing costs, that may be the case. But if you expand that out and look at the damages and the cost long term to an island that's degrading and all the different areas that are being more put in vulnerabilities to areas, that we argue that it's not necessarily a cheaper way to go. In fact, one particular time when they the Corps back a few years ago, you might remember when they pumped sand around the lighthouse itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sand was moved from the disposal site and put there, and I think at the time it was around $6 million,
that's right,
which we were happy to see it done. But my point is that we had to move it from the disposal site because the disposal site was filling up and getting too shallow to accommodate additional dumps of sand, which sort of suggests that the material is not moving from that location. And the other thing, you know, like you said, a lot of folks think, well, there's sand all over the place. And in some cases there is, but sand is a very, very valuable resource, and it is not just everywhere. There are different grades and qualities and types of sand, and they're not a one size fit all. And so when we get what's called beach quality sands, we need to be more careful about how we dispose of it and how we utilize it, because it's a valuable resource.
I know there's probably a bigger discussion of how it works, but you know, just people hearing this common sense wise will say, why is it cheaper for the Corps to take that dredge or that, and part of that being beach quality sand, and take it out there 5 miles offshore instead of just taking it over there to the north, to the west northwest by a couple miles, and put it on Dolphin Island proper? Don't even right. bank shot it. Just put it on the island.
Right. Well, again, the response will be that the type of dredge that they use, which is called a hopper dredge, which looks like just a ship, and it actually vacuums or sucks the sand up into the body of the ship, and as it fills up with sand, of course, it starts drawing more water or taking mm-hmm. more depth, and so they have to go in deeper water to dispose of it because they couldn't get into shallow water. And so that's their answer to that question. And of course, I question that as well and say, well, these hopper dredges can be equipped with a side discharge. Long time we've been saying, you know, at least just bypass this sand, which is what we're doing over at Perdido Pass
mm-hmm.
and other inlets around America. We just, as you just said, pick it up out of the channel that it fell in and move it across to the other side so it can follow on its journey. You know, same thing they tell us when we find a turtle crossing the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to pick him up and set him across the street where he's trying to get to. Similar thing here. You know, we can do that. It is doable, but right now it all comes down to just a matter of comparing cost.
All right, well, we'll come back. We'll talk more about the actual bill dealing with this that is in the Senate, made it out of committee, like the mayor said. It is, if you want to check it out, it's SB 215 that made it out of the Alabama Senate Committee on Transportation and Energy. And if you think this makes a lot of sense, like it does to me, you'll want to ring some phones and tell some folks that, yeah, I'm on board on that deal. So do that. We'll explain more when we get back. More Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Continued conversation with Mayor of Dolphin Island and my buddy Jeff Collier. The bill, if you're looking for the actual legislation, it's SB 215, right, Mayor?
That's right.
And this is brought, of course, by Representative Senator Sessions. And this is specifically what it says. It says, can you give me like the Sullivanese version of what
yeah.
this thing says?
Well, it's titled the Alabama Coastal Sand Conservation Act. And it just basically talks about the dredging of navigational inlets along the state and suggesting that sand, you know, good beach quality sands be put in a more beneficial location. That's kind of the short version of it.
Okay. And because somebody was asking on the text line, you know, this would be a state law. What does this have to do with the Corps that's under federal law?
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I don't know that I know all of those answers. I do know that other states along the Gulf Coast, particularly in Florida, where they'd have similar type legislation where it does have some implications on what the Corps does as well. So all of that will have to come out in the wash. The way I'm seeing it currently is that, first of all, I'm very grateful to Senator David Sessions, as I've mentioned before, that he supported similar bills back when he was a representative over the last several years that didn't get out of committee, and so he's now taking it one step further here, and it looks like they've made a little bit more progress. So I'm hopeful that this will, if nothing else, be a good start toward doing something that will be long-term good for coastal Alabama.
Now, I'll circle back to one thing here you said, but I want to make sure people catch this. This is not like it's not being done even inside the state of Alabama, because at Perdido Pass, they do exactly what you're asking for.
That's correct. That was put in place. Of course, that's over there. It's at Perdido Pass, and it's mainly through the Department of Transportation, is my understanding, who is responsible for that particular project. And they just have to go from time to time, and they simply pick that sand up out of the Perdido Pass and place it on the shoreline just immediately to the west, which is where the sand would go anyway, and that's very similar to what we're doing here. Of course, the mechanism for doing it here, the equipment necessary, would be different, but the same process is really what we're discussing.
And the other part of this is, the Corps says because it's a bottom discharge and the ship gets heavy and needs more draft, it goes offshore to drop. You're asking for a side discharge. But the gorilla in the room, let's just talk about it, and that is the amount of money. Let's keep it federal here. Bear Collier, the amount of federal dollars that have come to Dauphin Island after storms during the oil spill to deal with, in one case, soiled sand, but in the case of hurricanes and tropical storms, sand that's gone, federal dollars have paid to bring sand in, right?
At times they have done that. Of course, federal dollars have come in to correct the damages that were done. I mean, there was a couple of berms built, is probably what you're mm-hmm. referencing, Sean, after several different hurricanes, and that was quite costly. And what we've always contingent is that if we can have a more stable and resilient island, then we would likely reduce the amount of damages from hurricanes, which would be a cost savings on the back end. And it's the same question I brought up earlier about, is it cheaper to dump it at point A versus point B? I think it would be wise to spend a few extra dollars to put the sand where it would be more beneficial, because we could alleviate and reduce some of the damages going forward. But
yeah, long term. That's what I want people to understand. That if this change was made, if it was, let's say it costs more. Let's say it's not neutral. It costs a couple dollars more.
Right.
Those couple dollars are a drop in the bucket compared to what will be required after the next storm. If Dauphin Island is bigger and higher, it is way more resilient to storms, and you have to do less. It's a healthier island, needs less medicine after a storm.
Yes, and as I said again, and that's true, I believe that is true, I feel that way, but again, we have to also remind ourselves that while we're focusing right now on Dauphin Island, we also have to consider the adverse effects to communities such as Bayou Batchery and Codin and all those areas that are more vulnerable. The less of a barrier we are, the more vulnerable they become, and so you have to really cast a broader net when you start looking at damages, because we're letting the island essentially disintegrate, that we don't have the protection level that we need. And that's not even discussing the environmental degradation that's going on that directly affects the fisheries and the economy that goes along with that. So I just think it makes a lot of sense to invest in the future, as you said, and do the right thing on the front end, and we would have less cost long term.
Yeah, the macro view is important, and it's maybe hard for some people to think about, but maybe not. If people just slow down and think about what happens on the east end of Dauphin Island makes a difference at the mouth of Bayou Batchery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's those things are connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. It's all part of a system, and if you look into and learn more about, barrier islands, it's a phenomenon that it has a role to play, or multiple roles to play, and certainly they can play them better if they're more healthy, more resilient, and that's really what this whole conversation is about. And I think we have an opportunity. We have a situation where we have a channel that we don't need sand in the channel. Ships need deep water. They have to get rid of this material. We're sand-starved, just a stone's throw away, and I just keep saying, we've got to find a way to connect those dots. It just makes too much sense, and it shouldn't be this difficult.
No, it shouldn't. And I mean, that's been my frustration over time. I always go, well, there's probably something I just don't understand. But now that I've done years of this and talking about this and done my own reading, I think I understand it. And I am just still slack-jawed this is so hard to do.
Well, and the Corps, recently came out. They're looking at expanding the SIBUA, which is the Sand Island Beneficial Use Area, which is the long name for where they're currently dumping this material. And so one of the things they're looking at and proposing potentially to do is to expand that disposal site to the northwest, which is generally toward Dauphin Island, and that's good. I mean, that's a positive step. But, you know, I think that there's still some questions about that and whether that's going to be close enough or it's going to be the best opportunity. So we are making, you know, having at least some conversations and trying to work our way down a path of doing something that we can have multiple winners here. You know, I mean, it's good to have a great big channel. It's going to fit. The economy is going to be benefited by that. But we ought to also be mindful that we have another opportunity so that we can, that the environment can win as well. And that's critically important for folks that live and play along coastal Alabama. And hopefully we can find a way to work together to make those happen.
That's for sure. Mayor Collier, thanks for your time. I'll see you down there this weekend.
All right, Sean, take care. Thanks for having me.
Hey, always a pleasure. Mayor of the town of Dauphin Island, Jeff Collier, joining us here. Seriously, this is an issue you've heard me talk about over time. It's now in a bill, has a name, has made it out of committee. SB 215. You need to make sure that you make that phone call. Let everybody know. Even somebody who's not your representative. Say SB 215. Let's save some money. Let's save Dauphin Island. Let's have a ship channel widened and deepened. But let's put that sand on Dauphin Island. All right. SB 215. All right, coming up after the break, we'll check in with Dr. Bill, also get a news update. And then Ken Garrett with Victory Health joins us. More to talk about on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, you can get Bill Finch's full show Sundays starting at 9 a.m. here at FM Talk 106.5. Of course, replays in the evening and his podcast available for you on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Speaking of shows you can hear during the week here, how about Tuesday nights? I would say, I'm going to get myself in trouble, 55% of Two Guys and Some Change. My buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins joining us now. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going? And probably 60 or 70% if we're going by weight, but we're going to try to be nice, right?
Yeah, we are going to be nice. I want to take a second here. I want to talk about what's going on at the shop, but I want to point something out because I got an email from you this morning, and we talk about how we're, you know, locally owned company like y'all, local folks working with other local folks, and y'all have been an advertiser with us for a long time. So has Chris Francis with Chris Francis Tree Care, and you said you had a tree down yesterday at the lot there at the store, and then you called the crew out from Chris Francis's shop, and what's your review of another FM Talk 106.5 advertiser?
Well, I would say there's probably not enough stars right now to give them because it was amazing. So you're right. So we have a back parking lot for the shop, both for customers and for employees. About 3:30 yesterday afternoon, you hear this humongous boom. The building sort of shivers a little bit. And all you can see in the cameras is green. And it's like, that's not cool. Did our camera fall down? You go back out there and look, and one of these live oaks we've all talked about and probably heard Bill Finch talk about,
right,
laying down on the ground, which is never a good thing. So, I mean, nobody could get out of the parking lot at all.
Oh, and y'all were trapped. I didn't know y'all were trapped. Y'all were trapped in the parking lot.
Completely trapped. Luckily, I park out front, so I could escape. Everybody else, not so much. And we gave them a call, and within an hour, hour and a half, they were out here, and they had our parking lot completely clean, cleared up, and not just like, got the big stuff out of the way. They're out there with leaf blowers cleaning it up. It looked better than it did when they started.
I tell you what, it's not a surprise. I know that Chris has done work at my parents' house and at Dalton's house, and now he's done it there at the shop at Mobile Bay Coins. So hats off to him, and hats off to y'all as well. Let's talk about what's going on at the shop today. What do you want people to check out and when they come in? Let's talk some precious metals as well.
Right now, the latest thing is in graduations, high school graduations, mm-hmm, college graduations. A lot of people are graduating high school and starting a career in the military. So those engravable rounds have been really hot and popular. The 2019 Silver Eagles and 2019 other silver products have been really hot and popular. Somebody's extremely proud of their grad. They're buying them a 1 ounce 2019 American Gold Eagle.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be a really cool gift for somebody.
All right. If somebody wants to come in and check out those, it's the grads and dads time. If they want to do that, tell them how to get to the shop.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. They can always call us at 725-1590 or go onto our Facebook page and like and follow us there. Check out some of the new stuff.
Good stuff. Thanks, Angelo.
You have a great one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins, where they can now get out of their parking lot because our friends at Chris Francis Tree Care. So doubling up to catch up. And an old friend, not meaning old, like because I'm way older than she is, but an old friend of the show, Kim Garrett, Victory Health Partners, joining us now. Hey.
Hi there. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Before we even go any further and talk about all the things going on right now mm-hmm. with Victory, there's somebody riding down the road says, I've heard the name. I've mm-hmm. heard the commercials and the announcements about them. And Kim's been on before. What is Victory Health? What do yes. y'all do?
Or there's people that have never heard of us at all, which okay. is just a shame. But we are a nonprofit medical clinic, and we take care of adults without health insurance. So just those folks that maybe they own a small business, they are contract, part-time, and they just don't have access to affordable health care, we take care of those folks all throughout the Gulf Coast. So we see over 19,000 adults annually, ranging from Mississippi all the way throughout Alabama and then also Florida, who come to us for affordable health care ranging from primary to specialty, dental, medication, really just the whole gamut. We are blessed with partners who enable us to do that, which is just remarkable.
Yeah, there's two parts of this. I want to talk about how y'all uh-huh. get help to be able to do what you do. Uh-huh. And like you're saying, who is eligible for this? So listening to us right now, you describe small business owners, different people mm-hmm. that would be. Is there an income level, or is it how do you do this? How do you decide who's eligible?
Yes, so we go up to 300% the federal poverty guideline, which for a lot of people, including myself, it's like, but what is that really? And all this information is on our website at victoryhealth.org. It breaks down family size and family income to see if you qualify. A lot of people might think that they don't, but I encourage people do, because a lot of people really do qualify for the services. So it's an adult, so 19 to 64. We don't see children because there is great access for children throughout Alabama through all kids, Blue Cross, Blue Shield.
Right, we talked about those programs before. They're there for mm-hmm. kids. It stops.
It stops, yeah. Exactly. And so even like the young adults, like 19 to 20, 20 or 25, 30, that think that, you know, they are healthy and well, and thank goodness a lot of them are, but still there's those annual exams, and there are those things that come up, and, you know, the sinus infection, the cold, where you need an antibiotic, you know, they can come in for $35, $45, or $55 as opposed to a walk-in that would still be $100+. So just even the annual exams, you know, we can do that too for that group of people that are healthy. But for those folks that do have some more chronic illnesses like diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, that really if you wait and you don't get that health care, it can become very serious. So we try to be proactive and get patients the care that they need. So having some source of income within the family, and it doesn't have to be our patients, and it can be a lot of different things, and then having a proof of residence, so a phone bill, it can be
resident of where?
Of just having you know, an address,
okay,
of where you stay. And again, it doesn't have to be in your name. And a lot of the qualifications that we do, it helps us in the later on, once we need to get patients their medications, which we enroll patients into these pharmaceutical companies' patient assistant programs, and they require a lot of that paperwork. So if we do it on the front end when we need to get medicine, it just really expedites the process. And also it's just doing our due diligence that we're taking care of the people who really need help. So when we send them out to partners and specialists who are being kind and seeing our patients at a greatly reduced cost, we're being a good steward of their generosity and their partnership.
Yeah, I think one of the things that it's telling here, talking about medicine, talking about diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and the cost, people may not think, but the cost of insulin. And
oh, my goodness.
How high that is. But if somebody, because of money, doesn't treat their diabetes correctly, obviously the risk to their life. But on top of that, if they do eventually have to go in, mm-hmm. because that is astronomical amount of money versus what could be if they would stay on insulin, stay on the medicine.
Exactly. And we have a whole refrigerator full of insulin.
But people say they don't have the, you know, they need y'all because they don't have the money for the insulin.
Exactly. It's so expensive. And typical diabetics on a couple of medicines, some might be the generic, which is fine, but some aren't. And those just get so expensive. And the tests and the strips, everything that goes along with it, I mean, it just adds up. And diabetes alone it's complicated. So you have the medication, but then you have the nutrition, you know, just everything that gets compounded into that. And our doctors are wonderful that they get to spend time with our patients. So if they need to spend 30 minutes with the patient talking to a newly diagnosed diabetic, they can. They can do that. They can sit and talk and explain, this is how many times you'll get to come see me, or you'll need to come see me. Let's talk about your nutrition. Let's talk about taking your medicine. So really they can walk away having a good understanding and just knowing they have a doctor that they can come see.
If you wonder, once again, I'm going to get her to repeat this number because I think it's going to get your attention, that the difference the KM and Victory Health they're making. Y'all see how many?
About 19,000 patients.
19,000.
Uh-huh.
I always do the thing when I hear numbers like that. I picture people in a stadium.
Yes.
You know, I picture like a, whatever section is, you know, at Ladd or at Bryant Denny or something like that and go, wow. Wow, that many people.
It's a loud stadium.
Yes, it's a loud stadium. And it's important, obviously important work that y'all are doing. But that means if there's 19,000 people coming to see you, there's probably just as many that haven't heard of you and know that this is available.
I think there's still, last numbers I saw, it's about 100,000 just in Mobile and Baldwin County who are within the gap of healthcare.
Okay, explain that.
Who fall within, they fall within our age range of 19 to 64 and they don't have access to healthcare. So they don't have an affordable option for health insurance.
Now people will say, oh, I thought everybody had health insurance now.
Yes, but there with some factors, you know, because Alabama did not expand Medicaid, so there are still gaps within our system. So
those people, those are, and we're going to continue to talk about how people can come get your services and get help. But the other side of this, you mentioned the physicians giving of their time. You mentioned drug companies and their, how does this happen? When you unlock the doors on a Monday, where you may never lock them, but I mean, when y'all open up, how do y'all make Victory Health work? How do you get the funding?
Well, we are in about our 18th year, and Dr. Lightfoot, our founder, said that was the easiest part in the beginning was getting partners. So the medical community, he was in general surgery for about 18 years with his brother, and so he had already had an established network of physicians and partners, but when he opened the doors of Victory, people saw the need, they saw the value, and just understood that this is something that they needed to be a part of. So for our size of community, Mobile has an amazing medical community that has just rallied around this cause, and we're still getting partnerships with neurologists, urologists, these specialties that just were not available to our patients.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and you've mentioned it again. Uh-huh. It's not just a GP.
Right.
People can get to see a specialist.
Exactly. So we have general, you know, family medicine every single day, but then we have kind of rotating throughout our clinic. We'll have neurologists, we'll have urologists. If they can come see our patients at Victory, they will, or if it's easier for us to refer out, so to refer to like an orthopedist, cardiologist, we will refer them over to cardiology associates and they'll just fit our patients in to the normal scheduled day. And what's so neat is, you know, the physical care is amazing, that they'll go in and pay $35, $45 and they'll cover their tests, they'll cover their appointment.
That's
remarkable for like a cardiologist. But then what's so neat is, and what we love is, they'll come back and we'll ask, well, how was your appointment? And they'll say, you know what? I was treated like everybody else. Like, I just went and I paid my copay. So that dignity portion is really important to us at Victory, and we really care about the whole person. So that's why we do the physical care. We do counseling for free. We offer that for all of our patients. We have a full-time counselor and then also a lot of volunteers who come in. And that is just such a huge component about the mission. And we are first and foremost a ministry, so that spiritual aspect. So it's really holistic care, caring for the whole patient.
All right, coming right back. More with Kim Garrett from Victory Health right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along. And by the way, we talked about it a few times this morning. I'm going to mention it here on the Midday Show today too. It's a tease. I can't land the plane on this till tomorrow. But something big coming your way for this summer. Your chance to win big with FM Talk 106.5. Make your friends green with envy. It's a big thing. So there have been people trying to decode what I'm saying on the text line throughout the day, and there's some of y'all have been frighteningly close. So maybe I'll just wait till tomorrow morning. But tomorrow morning during Mobile Mornings, we'll announce what's next for FM Talk 106.5 and y'all in this 10th year. It is our birthday year, so we like to celebrate by giving you things, okay? So we'll just put it that way. All right, and we continue our discussion about Victory Health. Kim Garrett in studio with me. And if you're just joining us, Kim, can you give us, the people just tuned in, the quick description of what y'all do at Victory?
Yes, absolutely. Victory is a nonprofit medical clinic, and we take care care of adults without health insurance. So those folks kind of within the gap, whether they're part-time, they own a small business, and just different some of those industries that don't provide those health care benefits. We provide health care ranging from general to dental to specialty to medication assistance, counseling, just really the full gamut through incredible partnerships. But that's what we do for a very affordable payment.
Yeah, these low copays, and then help folks with their prescriptions, because
that is
a daunting thing for folks in a myriad of conditions, but how much it costs to get the drugs they need.
Oh, it is huge. Last year, I think we've dispensed about $32 million worth of free medicine. I know, it's a whole lot. That's ranging from, you know, patients going through our neurology clinic to just general to diabetes to high blood pressure, cholesterol. I mean, it's just, the cost is so great. And so the paperwork to enroll in these pharmaceutical companies, drug assistant programs, they're required by federal law to have them, but it's a lot of paperwork and everyone's different. If you don't dot the I's and cross the T's perfectly, you don't get qualified and don't get your medicine. But we have staff and volunteers. That's all they do.
They are experts.
All the companies, all the paperwork, everything. So we do that on behalf of our patients to get them their medicine, to get them taken care of. One program that we started in 2017 was treatment for hepatitis C patients who are positive.
Yeah, we've had some stories about that in the news lately.
So there's a great program that we developed a protocol that we're able to do so they can do the lab work at the clinic. We can get them all set up, get in the medication, and we've had 50 patients who have gone through the program and all have been cured.
Fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? I feel like we should have some clapping going on.
Get the celebratory
there
music. I'll get it fired up here in a second.
And then, but for each medication, for each patient, the cost for the medicine is $100,000 for that patient.
Whoa.
So times that by 50.
Whoa.
And the side effects are very mild. It's easy for the patients to take, and they're cured of their hepatitis C. It's just incredible.
Here it is.
There you go.
Yeah. There's your rural fanfare.
I love that.
Okay, so now let's talk about how this works. Once again, you mentioned physicians giving their time, being partners in this.
Yes, we have over 150 who either come to the clinic to see our patients, so wound care specialists, surgeons, neurologists, urologists, optometrists that come, who will come to the clinic on a day of a month that they're able to come, so we just have a schedule built out, and then what we can't do within the clinic, we'll refer out, so cardiologists, orthopedists, so many specialists that will refer out, and they will go to their offices and they'll just work them into their schedules, and they'll have a copayment that's similar to the clinic. So $35, $45. We have different diagnostics like MRIs, CAT scans that are donated.
Those things are so expensive too.
They are. And we just base them on the greatest needs per patient. And we have those partners who will provide those for a very affordable cost or for free. And it's just remarkable. They're just taking what we're able to do and what we thought we could do at the beginning, which was just a general primary care clinic, which was great and was needed, but the doors have just been opened, and just these partnerships that have come in, and we've seen lives saved, we've seen them restored, we've seen the testimonies are incredible of patients that have said, I can see my grandkids grow up, or I can go back to work, I'm not disabled at 26. I mean, just, you see the impact, and you know, I could talk for hours of the stories.
Well, we're going to do it again and have you come back. And by the way, Lisa on the text line said my mother used Victory and they were fantastic.
Oh, good.
So how can we help?
Biggest thing is awareness.
Okay.
Definitely awareness, because I know there's someone listening right now who can think of a brother, a mother, friend, you know, colleague who needs to come to Victory. So be our advocates, be our ambassadors. We need as many voices around this as we can, so we can take care of the people who need to be taken care of. And then also we need support. I know that's always a big request of nonprofits, but we need that. We have a great return on every dollar donated. For every $1 donated, we're able to stretch it to 40. So
I like that ratio.
I can truly say that every donation makes a difference. But we need that. We have great monthly giving kind of campaign called the Changemaker Campaigns, where our changemakers donate $10, they donate $25, and it's just that monthly deduction that you won't even miss. But we encourage, like, you know, bring a lunch from home, skip a cup of coffee, and donate to the clinic through our Changemaker campaign and really see a huge impact. You know, when we all do small things together, it makes a big impact.
That's for sure. Kim, thank you as always. Come back and see me soon. All right, we're out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. I'll see y'all tomorrow for Mobile Morning starting at 6. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hey, Dalton, we need to put a picture up on Instagram or something. Kim's picture for Instagram. It's coming up in a second.